I'd like to welcome everyone. It's wonderful to see you after taking a little break last month. And also, I want to thank all of our friends that are joining us on Skype. We appreciate you being here and supporting us, especially our friends from abroad. We know it's rather late for you there, and we ask that you stick with us, and if you have to go to bed, we understand. So we'll begin with the ringing of the Tibetan bowl. Let all of the particles settle. Let the breath become vast like the clear blue sky and deep into the core of your being. So at once we're reaching high and we're also penetrating very deep. Feel the rhythm of your own breath. Note the rhythm, and at the same time, allow the breath to become ever more vast and deep, feeling a kind of spaciousness, an openness, a light. Those that might be listening in realize that we have a 110-pound coonhound dog that is here breathing quite heavily and whining into the microphone. So if you hear that high-pitched sound, it is Leo, the coonhound. But he is always here with us practicing. If we could rise and say the prayer, first the Sufi invocation. Come here and sit. Good boy. Sit. Do you want to sit with us? You want to stand? That's good. We're all standing. Tuning to the being of Hazodanayak Khan, we invoke his vibration to be here with us, and we also invoke all the holy ones, all the master saints and prophets with this invocation to be here with us and guide us with their light and their wisdom for this time together. Towards the perfection of love, harmony and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And we will say the prayer song together, Leo. Praise be to Thee, most Supreme God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading,
the only being, taking us in thy parental arms, raise us from the denseness of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship, and to thee do we give willing surrender. Most merciful and compassionate God, the idealized Lord of the whole humanity, thee only do we worship, and towards thee alone do we aspire. Open our hearts towards thy beauty, illuminating our souls with divine light. O thou, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, all-powerful creator, sustainer, judge, and forgiver of our shortcomings, Lord God of the East and of the West, of the worlds above and below, and of the seen and unseen beings, pour upon us thy love and thy light. Give sustenance to our bodies, hearts, and souls. Use us for the purpose that thy wisdom chooseth, and guide us on the path of thine own goodness. Draw us closer to thee every moment of our lives, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace.
So we'll read. There's a beautiful passage in the text called The Flower Garden of Anayat. And as a way of tuning to these teachings and the being of Hazrat Anayat Khan, allow me to share these words. And I'm just going to ask Kabriya, are things settled over there online?
Two people keep dropping.
Is that because of their connection?
Well, it's Amina and Roger, who usually don't have problems, so I'm not quite sure. But Amina, can you please mute your line?
Okay. Well, again, I want to welcome everyone, and thank you for being here with us. And the title of this page is Anayat Khan's words. I gave up my music because I had received from it all I had to receive. To serve God, one must sacrifice the dearest thing. And I sacrificed my music, the dearest thing to me. I had composed songs, I sang, and played the veena. And practicing this music, I arrived at a stage where I touched the music of the spheres. Then every soul for me became a musical note, and all life, attracted by my words, listened to them instead of listening to my songs. Now, if I do anything, it is to tune souls instead of instruments, to harmonize people instead of notes. If there's anything in my philosophy, it is the law of harmony with oneself and with others. I have found in every word a certain musical value, a melody in every thought, harmony in every feeling. And I have tried to interpret the same thing with clear and simple words to those who used to listen to my music. I played the vina until my heart turned into this same instrument. Then I offered this instrument to the divine musician, the only musician existing. Since then, I have become his flute, and when he chooses, he plays his music. The people give me credit for this music, which in reality is not due to me, but to the musician who plays his own instrument. So today's class will continue with the teachings on the breath, and hopefully, God willing, our instruments will be played and we'll be able to examine, explore, and inshallah, God willing, experience the elemental breaths in a whole different way. It's as if we keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into these practices. And one can't say enough that the practices, although one, when they begin to learn the practices, they may appear to be very mechanical, but these are living expressions. And the elementals, as we'll find out today, according to the teachings of Hazrat Inayat Khan, are living beings. And so to participate in these breaths are to invoke these living beings within our being, because we too are part of nature. I can't emphasize enough how important I think the breath work is. I've said it, and I'll keep saying it, that for me the breath and the prayers are the two rails that can drive us all the way to enlightenment. In the words of Hazrat Inayat Khan on the power of the breath, it is difficult to define breath in a few words. Breath is the very life in beings, and which holds all the particles of the body together, is the power of the breath. And when this breath becomes less, then the will loses control over the body. As the power of the sun holds all the planets, so the power of the breath holds every organ. Besides this, the breath purifies the body by taking in new and fresh life and by giving out all gases that should be put out. It nourishes the body by absorbing from space the spirit and substance that are necessary, and more necessary than all that man eats and drinks. The whole mechanism of the body works by the power of breath. The breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath does a special work. It has its particular influence upon every element of which the physical body consists. So we'll hopefully go deeper and deeper into this subject, the breath. Throughout the class, just continue to observe one's own breath. This is the science of breath, or one could call it the culture of breath. The breath is the greatest biofeedback machine we could have, or mechanism. By observing the breath, we can tell so much about our state of mind, and in fact, we can alter our state of mind. Just tune to the breath and notice, can you tell, is the breath moving for you at this moment in a horizontal motion, in a vertical motion? Is it ascending? Is it descending? Is it penetrating? Is it spreading? I mean, the breath has the capacity to do all these things. And although we may not realize it, in the end, the breath is the very thing that can help us send a thought to another, a healing thought to another, a productive thought to another. It can help another heal. It can help another balance. But really, we are studying ourselves first and primary. But the goal is to become a servant to humanity. I believe that everything that arises in our life is an opportunity to study the science of breath, the culture of breath. And Hosrat Anayat Khan says on the subject, the philosophy of breath, and this is from Supplemental Papers, the Classes for New Reads. As the books, precepts, and doctrines of his religion are important to the follower of a religion, so the study of breath is important to the mystic. We ordinarily think of the breath as that little air that we feel coming and going through our nostrils. But we do not think of it as that vast current that goes through everything. That current which comes from the consciousness, here consciousness is with the capital C, so that current that comes from the consciousness and that goes as far as the external being, the physical world. So think of that. The current that comes from consciousness into the external physical world, that current. It's profound when we think of it, that we're connected in that way. In the Bible, it is written that the first word was, and from the word all things came. And before the word was the breath, which made the word. We see that a word can make us happy, and a word can make us sorry. Is it not true? Oh, we really like when someone says something nice to us. And how often we've said things that we were very sorry for. We wish as soon as they come out, we can almost see them. We want to grab them and poke them back in our mouth, don't we? It's so true. I was saying to Joe the other day, it was last night or this morning when we were waking up, silence really is golden, isn't it? It really is. Such a beautiful, beautiful thought. Behind the word, there is much greater power, and that power is the breath. If a person wishes to study the self, to know the self, what is important is not the study of the mind, of the thought, the imagination, nor of the body, but the study of the breath. Does anyone want to hear that again? Mm-hmm. Behind the word is the much greater power, the breath. If a person wishes to study the self, to know the self, what is important is not the study of the mind, of the thought, of the imagination, nor of the body, but the study of the breath. Anyone that's done any kind of therapeutic work knows that only talking gets you so far. There's something that's more penetrating than even that. And it's the breath that can take us and reveal things. Two images come, and maybe they're beneficial. But one is like, you know, the great Sahara Desert and those sands that the wind comes and it just shifts those sands. Any impression that's there is just gone. And the desert is living. We are also a living being. We sometimes get hindered by our patterns of thinking, our patterns of being, but the breath can come in like that wind on the desert and just move the sand. You know, being in Morocco, we were very aware when we were traveling in remote areas that even the roads would sometimes become totally obscured because of the liveliness of the desert. It would just move the desert, and you would no longer know where the road even was. But to become lost in a way, in a fresh, new territory within ourselves, this is the possibility the breath can offer us. But it's almost we have to open all the doors and the windows and let the fresh air come in. The other image is like a mirror. You know how the image becomes very obscure if the mirror is dirty, or even your windows. I don't know if anyone else is like me. I love every spring I clean all the windows, and it all of a sudden the house just seems so much brighter. And this is what the breath can do. It can brighten us. I can see it on everyone's face too. They're all getting light and bright in here. My gosh, it's like, let me get my sunglasses. Do you believe it? You believe it's true? Mm-hmm. If you look at each other's faces, you can see it in your faces since you walked in the door. They're much, it's like instant facelift. Mm-hmm. I'm really into this. This is wonderful. Everybody's like, how are you all doing at a distance? Take a look at each other if you're there. I bet you all are all shining and glowy too. So again, if a person wishes the study of the self, to know the self, what is important is not the study of the mind, of the thought, the imagination, nor of the body, but the study of the breath. The breath has made the mind and the body for its expression. The breath has made the mind and the body for its expression. It has made all from the vibration of the physical atom, from the finest to the grossest. It has made all from the vibration of the physical atom, from the finest to the grossest. The breath, the change of the breath, can make us sad in the midst of happiness. It can make us joyful in the sadness. This is why, without reason, in some places we feel glad, in other places a melancholy comes over us. Have you had that experience? Where you enter someplace and all of a sudden you've shifted and you're not sure why. You've had that experience, or a person maybe does that, and maybe there's nothing about that person really, you like them, but something happens, you've shifted it. You're influenced perhaps by their breath. But Murshid gives a teaching in, I love it, it's a beautiful one, it's about the current of the breath and how by developing the culture of the breath, we can, it helps us to develop a greater understanding of self, but he also likens it to a little teeny stream in comparison to a vast ocean. And so, I mean, for me, this path, and perhaps for you if you're drawn to it, it answers many things that in some ways perhaps conventional religion doesn't. And part of that is because it is a path of mysticism. It is a path of self-realization, not just mere belief in something. And it's one's inner experience that validates the path in many ways. And so then one can take from there that if that's true, then it's not just for oneself. It's for a greater good, perhaps. You know, there's this great brotherhood and sisterhood that Hosward and Icon talks about, and how we can unite with each other through greater understanding. But if one doesn't even understand oneself, how can one understand another? And what's more, of what benefit can we be? So by doing this inner work, changing that inner culture, we have a greater opportunity to offer something to the world and to really truly be of assistance and service. Does that make sense? You may say, how can the breath make all this? How could it make the body? I have seen people become in a course of years as their breath is. What exists in the breath is expressed in form. As the breath is, so the child becomes. There are two, that's all I will read. That's all I read. I'm going to now move to another section of the paper. Well, I'll go ahead. But this is, we've talked about in our previous classes, but it's part of the sequence of this paper. Murshid talks about there are two sorts of breath. There is the stronger breath, the Jalal, and the weaker breath, Jamal. And there is a breath that unites Jalal and Jamal, and by uniting them, annihilates them both, meaning that they come into a kind of equipoise or stillness. And that breath is called Kamal. By uniting Jalal and Jamal, it forms a circle. And then he goes into the elements and he says this. All the elements are in the breath, according to the direction which the breath takes. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether. We can taste them in the breath. These are five directions, four outer and one inward. You may say, what influence can the direction have? And I will say, if you take a ball and throw it in every direction, the ball will not go equally far at every throw. It will sometimes go further, sometimes not so far. The direction of the breath makes an effort, even in our words. Sometimes we say, yes, I see directly. Sometimes we say, yes, I see. And here the head is thrown back. The breath becomes obliquely, and the effect is quite different. So in the one, it's a total agreement, and the other one, it's a kind of sarcasm. And so it may be, you know, yes, I agree, you know, with the head going back. It's very interesting. If you study this, you watch people's bodies, and you watch their breath, it tells you everything. Their words may be saying another thing. Their expression on their face is saying something. But if you know how to read this, you get so much more. And sometimes we can help. Again, we can help. Sometimes it's also very frightening because you see what can be in people's hearts and minds without them themselves even knowing. And then we have to pray. If you say we cannot feel, perceive the elements in the breath, we do not know where they are, I will say, this is a science. It cannot be understood in a moment. It is a study. If you say, we cannot feel, perceive the elements in the breath, we do not know where they are, I will say, this is a science. It cannot be understood in a moment. It is a study. Shall we study it some more? Are there any questions at this point before we go further? Friends at afar still with us and following us. What I would like to do is share with you parts of a text called The Mysticism of Sound. And this is by Hazaratanai Khan. And I'll read a little bit, but we'll read a little bit and then we'll study that aspect of breath, that element of breath, according to these teachings and see what we can come to understand better. And there's something back here. Where Murshid talks about, now I'm again referring to the supplemental paper. He said, the breath has made the mind and the body for its expression. It has made all from the vibration to the physical atom, from the finest to the grossest. I'd like to now again refer to this section from the Mysticism of Sound on vibrations. vibrations turn to atoms, and atoms generate what we call life. So it's tying back into that paper, that the breath forms the body from the finest to the grossest. Now this is tying in, this is in another text, but it picks up that line of thought and elaborates on it. Vibrations turn to atoms, and atoms generate what we call life. Now what I believe he's talking about here is again what the scientists are discovering with the string theory. That they believe now that it's a matter of vibration, that some things become visible to us, some things are not visible at certain times, and that it's a matter of the vibration becoming slower or grosser that allows us to see things. That there are many things in our world that are unseen, they may be vibrating at a different frequency. All we have to do is look at one species to another. We do understand that some reptiles, some insects, see the world very differently than we do. It's not a lot of hocus-pocus. It's also a functional reality of, you know, how different species interpret the same world. But here he's saying vibrations turn to atoms, and atoms generate what we call life. Thus it happens that by their grouping, by the power of nature's affinity, forms a living entity. And as the breath manifests through the form, so the body becomes conscious. In one individual, there are many, many fine and small beings hidden. In one individual, there are many fine and small beings hidden. I can see it. I have all your interest now. Everybody's turned and perked up. In one's blood, brain cells, and skin. Because you're just all fascinating me with your wide eyes. Okay. Thus it happens that their groupings, by the power of nature's affinity, forms a living entity, and as the breath manifests through form, so the body becomes conscious. In one individual, there are many fine and small beings, in one's blood, brain cells, and skin, and in all planes of their existence. As in the physical being of an individual, many small germs are being born and nourished, which are nevertheless living beings. So in one's mental plane, there are also many beings. And these are termed elementals. And these are still finer entities born in one's own thoughts. So the elementals are connected to the thoughts. As germs live in one's physical being, so the elementals dwell in one's mental sphere. Humans often imagine that thoughts are without life. We do not see that they are more alive than the physical germs, and that they have a birth, childhood, youth, age, and death. And you can just see this in your own thinking in a day's time. How much we give birth to something, it comes to fruition, or we let it go and we pick up another train of thought. Now here's the interesting thing. If you start to relate it to the elementals, you can start to identify, are you doing something very tangible and very methodical? Very step one, step two, step three. If you are, it's probably the earth elemental that's helping you. If you're just kind of floating through the day in a rather lyrical form, free form, floating through the day. Maybe you're in the water element. If you're feeling extremely passionate about something or very determined to get something done, you know, quickly, maybe that's the fire element. If your imagination is kindled and you're very creative, maybe you're in the air element. But the thing is how do we shift when we need to shift, yes? We've talked about this before, but here, in this beautiful text, it's talking about the connection to our mental realm.